Okay, good morning, everybody. I'd like to begin by thanking Shari Baron, who had the idea to have the shiur this morning. Unfortunately, I did not accurately, by long shot, anticipate the number of people who would be here, so I really did not run off enough, anywhere near enough sheets, so I do have some source sheets. If you don't need them, you know, you can follow the shiur without them. If you like them, you can have it, or if you look on, people will look on with each other. I apologize. I just completely did not recognize how many people would be here. So if you don't want them or don't need them, that's fine. If people look on together, again, my apologies.
Just for the benefit, how many?
I don't remember. I think 20 or so. But, yeah. All right. As I say, you can follow the sheet without the sheets, too. It's, for those who have it, find it helpful. If not, not. Okay. So again, my apologies. This morning... Today, we obviously observe the fast, the Tainus of Shavuot B'Tammuz. Today, technically, is not the 17th of Tammuz. Today is the 18th, but of course, yesterday was Shabbos, the 17th of Tammuz. We never have a public fast day on Shabbos other than Yom Kippur, which is a different category of fast altogether. What happened on Shavuot B'Tammuz? The Mishnah, towards the end of Maseches Tainus, mentions there are a number of different things that happened. We referred to them in some of the Slichas this morning. But probably the most famous episode, again, the Torah itself, it speaks about, not giving the date, but the Torah mentions the Shviras HaLuchos, the breaking of the Luchos when Moshe came down from Har Sinai. It doesn't say in the Torah that it happened on the 17th of Tammuz, but Chazal figured it out. But the more famous thing relating to the time of the year that we're now in, leading up to Tisha B'Av, the 3 weeks, is that the city of Yerushalayim was breached, like we said in the refrain from the Pizmon this morning, the Slichas Yom, Govar Oye Vati Bo'ka Ha'ir. The city was broken into. The city of Yerushalayim was broken into. The details appear at the end of Sefer Melachim Beis, and also in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Actually, Melachim Beis never mentions the exact month that it happened, but in Yirmiyahu it does. So it was the fourth month, and actually by the first Beis Hamikdash it appears, at least according to one view, that it happened on the 9th of Tammuz, not on the 17th of Tammuz. And there was some confusion because of all the war, what date it was, and so on. Okay, that's a different discussion. But Lamaisa, we fast on the 17th of Tammuz, and when it's Shabbos, we push it off to the 18th. And again, the most famous disaster that we focus on this day is the breaching of the walls of Yerushalayim. We tend to think, not incorrectly, that this was basically the final step towards the Korban, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, which happened, of course, 3 weeks later on Tisha B'Av, and hence the period of time that we're in now, known as the 3 weeks, Bein HaMitzarim, okay, between these two tragedies and the narrow straits of this time of year. And so Shavuos B'Tammuz is associated with, really, with the Korban. And that's what we mostly focus upon, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the step towards the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. This is not incorrect. It is correct. But, as I mentioned, in terms of the Shir, I'd like to look at a different aspect of Yerushalayim, which I think is sometimes overlooked. We tend to mourn when we think about the destruction of Yerushalayim. We think about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And again, that's not incorrect. The centerpiece of Yerushalayim, the centerpiece of Eretz Yisrael, the centerpiece of the world for us was the Beis HaMikdash. And when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so we focus on that, we mourn that, and certainly that's the dominant theme of Tisha B'Av itself. And in the sense that Shavuos B'Tammuz is a prelude to Tisha B'Av, it's a dominant theme, Yom Gavar Eva Tibaka Ha'ir, relates to the Churban HaBayis as well. However, I think there's another aspect to Yerushalayim that we mourn, that we should think about, which I think is sometimes overlooked and not given enough attention. So that's what I'd like to focus upon this morning. The first time we have the place of Yerushalayim mentioned somewhat explicitly in the Torah is in Parshas Lech Lecha. So the first of the sources you have the sheets, but I'll refer to them, but you can listen without the sheets. Talks about when after Avraham Avinu intervened in the war between the four kings and the five kings that took place in Eretz Yisrael, and his nephew Lot was taken prisoner of war, and Avraham rescued him, and so on his way back, he stopped by a gentleman by the name of Malki Tzedek, Perik Yudalad and Bereshis Posik Yechesu, Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Hotzi Lech Mayan, who coined Lekel Elyon, a gentleman by the name of Malki Tzedek, was the king of a place called Shalem. He came and greeted Avraham, and he gave him some food and some drink and so on. You look in the Targum Unklus, on that Posik in Lech Lecha, Perik Yudalad, Bereshis Posik Yechesu, Umalki Tzedek Malka Dirushalayim. So the Targum renders Shalem, this city called Shalem, Salem, I guess, in English, not in Massachusetts, but in Eretz Yisrael, right? So the city of Shalem is identified in the Targum Unklus as Yerushalayim. Same thing with Targum Yonasani, adds something else. Who was this Malki Tzedek? The Targum Yonasan on that pasuk, Herkidal pasuk Ches Umalkitz Malkot Tzadika Malkitzerek, who Shem Bar Noach. He was none other than one of Noach's three sons. Shem, Shem Chom and Yefes, right? So Shem Ben Noach is identified as Malkitzerek. It was another name. He was obviously quite old at that time, but we know that people lived longer years in those days. So this Shem, after the flood, we don't hear too much about him after the flood, but he didn't disappear. And it ended up, he became the king of Yerushalayim, the king of the city Shalem. And again, it's called Yerushalayim over there. Okay, so we have a reference in the Torah to this place. The first reference in the Torah, to the direct reference in the Torah to Yerushalayim, is this city called Shalem. Now, later on, in the following Sedra, Parshas Vayera talks at the end about the Akedas Yitzchak, and there, that took place on the Har HaMoriah, which is also in that same place, as we know. And there the Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu, Perek Chof Beis of Bereishis, Pasuk Yedal, in source 4 if you have the sheets, Vayikra Avraham Shem HaKamo HaShem Yireh, Asher Yomer Hayom, Bahar HaShem Yeruah. Right? Avraham named this place HaShem Yireh. So the Medrash, there in Parshas Vayera, Parshas in Bereishis Rabbah, Parshas Nun Vav, Simen Yud, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a dilemma, right, so to speak. Avraham called the place Avraham Karaso Yireh. Avraham named this place Yireh. Whatever this area was where the mountain was, he called it Yireh. Okay? Now, Shem ben Noach, who we just read about before, called it Shalem. That was his city called Shalem. So what are we going to refer to the city as now? Yireh or Shalem? So, compromise. Shalem was built on compromise. Right? Derive from that whatever you wish. But the Medrash says, because Baruch Hu says, Im karne so Yireh kishem shekaros Avraham. Shame, Adam Tzadik Nisham, if I'm going to refer to the place from now on as Yireh, based on what Avraham Avinu called it. So shame, you know, it was also Tzadik, Shame Ben Noach would have a Taina. You know, it's not fair. On the other hand, if I call it Shalem, then Avraham's going to have a Taina. It's not fair. So therefore, Ela Harveni Koros Yerushalayim. Kemosha Koros name, Yerushalayim is a combination of Yireh and Shalem. I took the two names together, made it Yerushalayim. Okay, the Ramban, back in Lech Lecha, Perek Yedal Pasuk, I'm sorry. Says Malkitzerek Melech Shalem. He says he Yerushalayim. The Ramban is clear that he also believed that this place Shalem is Yerushalayim, and he refers to this Medrash, and he says that this is the place which corresponds to the Beis Hamikdash Shalmala, and that's why the king is called Malkitzedek. All the kings of Yerushalayim had Tzedek in their names. We later find in Tanakh Adoni Tzedek. Right? Tzedek. The pasuk says in the Ramban quotes it in the beginning of Yeshaya. It's after in a couple of weeks. On Shabbos Chazon, a tzedek yolin bo, right? Tzedek yolin bo. So it's a place of tzedek. Okay. The fascinating comment made by the Meshech Chochma, Rabbi Simcha of Divinsk, in the seventh verse, there in Parshas Vayera and Bereishis Parachov Beis plus Yedalim, where he delves into these two names, Yireh and Shalem. And he says, and again, he refers to the Medrash and so on. And he says that what do the words mean? Well, Shalem means Shlemus, completion, right? A total package, so to speak. And he says towards the end of the first paragraph, and I'll read it for those who don't have it, V'zeh mora shalem, shumora shakol hamin ha'enoshi hu adam echad. Human beings are all one. We're all united really as one. We're all one people. V'chol echad hu ever me'evore ha'adam agadol. Every human being is a limb from this giant, you know, this giant man, so to speak, mankind. And they influence each other and so on. So that's shalem. Yireh, it says in the next paragraph, has to do with the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the second paragraph there in 7 of Zech, Asher Yomar Behar Hashem Yireh, Ritzon Olam, Hashem Yireh, Ritzon Olam, Hashem Yireh, Gala Elakuso Biroz Kol Basu Kvod Hashem Benisim Pratim. That has to do with what we might call the supernatural, the spiritual, appreciating the Nisim and the godless, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Meshech Chochma writes, V'nei Yerushalayim Benuya Al Shnei HaDvarim. Yerushalayim represents both things. That which is in the brain, that which is in the mind, right? The human being, human thought, and so on. And the place of the characteristic of the person that's in the heart. And that's the idea of Yerushalayim. L'chein nikur Yerushalayim, he says, the yira al shem taras ha-muskolos u'shalem al-izdachos ha-tkunos ha-midos shal-zeh nemar klilos yofi. But I think the Meshech Chochma may be driving at, or if I may expand or embellish his words a little bit. The idea is Yerushalayim represents two things. Yerushalayim is a place where one senses the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nisim, and so on, what Yerushalayim represents in terms of the spiritual. But it's also a center for man, for people to come together, for people to coexist, what we might call a social contract, for society to function. It's to be an example, and that's again in the Psukim of the Haftarah Shabbos Chazon, the beginning of Yeshaya also, but it's a place where people function as a proper society. In other words, Yerushalayim represents, at least in theory, okay, represents the place not only where one senses HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Beis HaMikdash and so on, but it represents in the more, shall we say, material or physical sense, a place where people come together and function, human beings function as a society. It's a capital of a society. It's a capital city. That's what a capital city is supposed to be. I'm not saying it always is, but the capital city is supposed to be a place which represents the unity of the people of that country and of that land, right? That's what a capital is. It's where people recognize that this is where authority comes from, this is how we function as a society, as human beings. Independent, so to speak, although not really independent, but to a certain extent, independent of the supernatural and the spiritual that's in that place. And I think that's the aspect of Yerushalayim which is somewhat overlooked. We focus on Yerushalayim as the center of Mikdash, and as a center of relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shalosh Regalim, beautiful, it's not wrong, Chas V'Shalom, that's what it is. But Yerushalayim is also, perhaps, supposed to represent the center of, our, as Jews, but in general, the center of human activity, where people function together and build a society together. I think that's the idea of Yerushalayim. Now, it's interesting, because the other nickname of the place is Har HaMoria. Pasuk says in Parshas Vayera, in verse 8, Parak of Beis, Pasuk Beis, Vaykach nas bincha sichidcha tel, and bring him, Alech lecha el Eretz HaMoria, okay, el Eretz HaMoria, well, Eretz HaMoria is the same place, the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamin Beis, Parak Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Vayochel Shlomo Livnos, is Beis Hashem, Yerushalayim, Behar HaMoria, so it's clear from the Pasuk of Divrei Yamin, this is the same place. So Gemara in Tainus, on Daf Tes Zanim and Aleph, says, my Har HaMoria, what time the name is Har HaMoria? So, Hora'ah is psak halacha, right? This is the direction for people. This is in line with what we're saying. This is the place where the Sanhedrin was. It's a place where direction, hora'ah, a psak, right? The direction of how people should behave. This is flows from this place. The other one says, it's a place that the other nations are frightened of and so on. And that may be more because of the spiritual, so to speak, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, but the two could also go together. It could really be focusing on that point that Yerushalayim is the center of Hora. Rashi says there in Tainus Tazanim and Aleph, in verse 11, Zemar Chad Har Sheyotza Ha'etza Hora, right? Kimitzion Teitzei Torah. Yerushalayim is the place from which Hora'ah, halachic direction, behavioral direction, behavioral decent conduct direction comes from. And it may also be because that's why people will have, the other nation will have fear or awe. They see, if we do it properly, what this place can possibly represent. Okay? And Rabbi Gershom, not Gemara Tanis, they just threw it in, but he says that's why it's called Yerushalayim, because of the compromise and so on. Okay. What's interesting is Tosas there in Tainus, on Daf Tes Zanim and Aleph, I think it stresses this point, and he says, Yesh Marzei Yerushalayim Shenikra Shem Avram, right, Avram, and again, refers to that same Medrash, but he points out an interesting thing, I can focus on just to digress for a moment. Yerushalayim, the overwhelming majority of times in Tanakh, is spelled without the second Yud. Yud Rei Shvav Shin Lamed Mem. Okay? That's what Tosfos is pointing out there in Tainus, right? If Yerushalayim, the last three words, we pronounce it Yerushalayim. And if I see a sign in Eretz Yisrael, how many miles it is or how many kilometers, Yerushalayim, it'll say Yud Resh Vav Shin Lamed Yud Mem, Yerushalayim, that's how we pronounce it. But in Tanakh, throughout Tanakh, with five exceptions, but close to 600 times, when Yerushalayim is mentioned, it's mentioned without the Yud, the second Yud, obviously the first Yud, but the second Yud is missing. So that's what Tosfos points out, okay, that's the idea of connecting. It's Shalem. That was the original place of Shalem. That's how it's spelled. To the extent that I'm not going to go into this now in detail here, there's a question which was dealt by the Poskim in the middle and second half of the 20th century when Jews resettled in Eretz Yisrael and so on. How do you spell Yerushalayim in a get? How do you spell it? Not so simple. Rav Herzog, in the 14th, the source 14, I printed from his tshuva. We're not going to read it inside. It's a technical matter. Those interested in halachic ramifications, but it's a discussion. Rav Herzog, Yitzchak Isaiah Levi Herzog was the first chief rabbi, first Ashkenazic chief rabbi of the Medina. Rav Kook was the first rabbi Rashi, but Rav Kook did not live to see the state of Israel established. So the chief rabbi was Rav Yitzchak Isaiah Levi Herzog, originally from Ireland. He was chief rabbi of Dublin before coming to Eretz Yisrael. And a great genius. He had discussed in the past in the shul, he had a PhD from the University of Dublin in the colors. He does a lot of work on Tchelis. He has his PhD work is called Hebrew Porphyrology, the study of purple. He was a big scientist, one of these geniuses who knew everything. In fact, there were those, he had the PhD, so those in Yerushalayim, the Prussian, were not in favor of his candidacy to become the chief rabbi. There were signs, the Pashkavilim, the signs were up. We're not going to have a rabbi doctor be the chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, he won the election anyway. But anyway, so Rav Herzog, great genius. So he discusses this question. Ksivas Hashem Yerushalayim Begitin. Every detail in a get has to be spelled properly, written properly, and so on. It's a question of how exactly do you spell it. And do you spell it with that second yud, the way we pronounce it, Yerushalayim, or the way it's written in Tanakh? And then, anyway, so I don't go into the tshuva right now. A little after him, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. We have his tshuvas, Charles Tshuvas, Har Tzvi. And Heichel Yitzchak is Evan Ezechelik based in Nun Zion. I printed source 14, Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, with Sim Kuf Chav Zion, his tshuvas, Nechelik Evan Ezer. Shame, Yerushalayim beget, I nichtav molay ochoser. How do we write it? I mean, it's a difference. In a get, again, you have to be, an exuba, you should also be precise, not quite as necessary as exuba. We were more lenient with the errors, but again, same question. So this was, again, when more and more Jews moved to Yerushalayim, it became an issue exactly how to spell it. Both of these poskim assumed that we should spell it in a get, and that was apparently the long-standing meaning of Yerushalayim, is to spell it without that second yud, to spell it the way it appears most times, in Tanakh. Okay, and he said, that's how we do it. Nobody complained about it, and so on. And he quotes a Minchas Shai towards the end of 15, one of the grammatical commentaries on Tanakh, and he says Yerushalayim is written always without the yud, except for five times. Okay, so you can check in a concordance or check online, and in a search and figure it out. That's the way we do it. And he has it in a different shuva. Okay, so again, that's a side point, but an important point. We don't know how to spell Yerushalayim properly, but again, the fact that we spell it without the yud, in a get, and everywhere else, in Tanakh, the overwhelming majority of times, relates it to that word shalem. Okay? And therefore, he said we shouldn't think twice about it. Just mentioned as a side point, in the Aramaic Taka, it is Yerushalayim, like we saw in that Targum Unkel before, in the Pismon, the Zmiris, the Kari Bone. Right, the last stand, the Limitosh Yaktub, Birush Lame, Karat of the Shufraya, right? Limitosh Yaktub, Kodesh, etc. Birush Lame, Karat of the Shufraya, Yerush Lame, right? It's spelled in the Aramaic without the Yud. But in the Hebrew, we pronounce it Yerushalayim. That's a question about the get. Okay. Just if you like Gematrias, so in the Balaturim, in Source 17, the Balaturim, in Parshas Vayera, when it says, Olecha El Eretz Hamoriah, Bi Gematria, Yerushalayim, without the Yud. Okay, if you enjoy that, good. Rabbeinu Bachya makes a very interesting comment. Got it in the last week's Sedra in Parshas Chukas, Bamidbar Perek Yates Pasuk Gimel. He says, "What is Yerushalayim?" He points out when we have that ending in a phrase in Hebrew, it always refers to something of which there are two: Oznayim, Einayim, right? Oznayim, ears; Einayim, eyes, and so on. Okay, Shnayim, the number two itself. So he says Yerushalayim, okay, is that way. Because it's two Yerushalayims, really. There's Yerushalayim Shalmala and Yerushalayim Shalmata. So that's why, even though it's spelled without the Yud, we pronounce it Yerushalayim. That's Rabbeinu Bachya. Okay, makes that comment. Zehu Sod Haloshim Rishim Yerushalayim, Mamar Al Shnayim. Okay? And we're missing that Yud and so on, but it kind of unites the two. I would just say it in line with what we're saying, that Yerushalayim also has this dual aspect to it, go back to that Meshech Chochma, has a dual aspect. Not only is it the center of the Beis HaMikdash, the spiritual center, but it's also supposed to be the physical material center, the capital of the Jewish people, so to speak, the place from which Horah, halachic direction, and again, behavioral direction comes from. It's the place where people are supposed to come together as a society and so on. So I would also express about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is called in the Pasuk in Tillim, right, the Gemara says, not this idea of Yerushalayim Shalmala is not something that made up. It's in the Gemara, and Gemara Tainis Daf Hamad Aleph says there's Yerushalayim Shalmala also, whatever that means, some spiritual Yerushalayim. Good. So therefore, we have that name Yerushalayim. And just to end this section with the comment of the Tzitz Eliezer, it was a relatively recent posting in Yerushalayim, Chelek Yud Aleph in his Tshuva Siman Peites. So he also talks about this question of spelling Yerushalayim, and then he discusses in the second paragraph, again, not for now, just to make you aware, what about, okay, I understand, you write the get in the old city of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is ever expanding. I haven't been there in a little while, but a couple of years, but, it gets bigger and bigger every time you go, there's more in Yerushalayim. I remember when Ramot, they used to call it Remote, You know, because it's like so far, but now it's all connected. I mean, you know, so the city is ever expanding. Okay, so is all this part of Yerushalayim? So all this, maybe we should spell, well, you want to talk about Yerushalayim, you know, the original Yerushalayim, okay, the old city, I don't know, he talks about, we consider it all Yerushalayim. Okay, now, Yerushalayim, therefore, in that sense, as I say, is the center of, we might call the Melucha, the Jewish kingship, the Jewish kingdom, independent of the spiritual nature of the Beis HaMikdash. The famous Pasuk in the end of Parshat Peshalach, we read on Purim actually, it says, Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Tezvav of Shmos, the source of 23, by Omer, if Hashem took a shvua, Kiyod al Kais, I'm saying another routine, al Kais Yah, Milchama Hashem Bamalek Midor Dor. Now you know why we read on Purim, right? Milchama Hashem Bamalek Midor Dor. So it says, I swear, Haromas Yad lifting hand is like an oath. In America, we do it. Raise your right hand, right? So you're an oath. It's an oath, okay? Kiyod al Kais, Chof Samech. And then Shem Hashem, Yud-Hei. Okay, so Rashi quotes, and it's Chazal, okay, that the word case means throne, chair, missing the Aleph. Case is called Chof Samech Aleph, just says case. The name Hashem, Yud and then Hey, then Avav and Hey, is shortened in this pasuk just to Yud-Hei. So the throne is shortened and the Shem Hashem is shortened. So Rashi says, the name of Chazal, that as long as there is Amalek, Ein Hashem Shalem, Ein Akise Shalem. As long as there's Amalek in the world, whatever Amalek represents, that type of evil, so the throne of Hashem is incomplete. We don't spell it Kisei, we knock out the Aleph. Okay, and even his name, the name of Hashem is incomplete. The Yud and the Hey, is the, it's all we print. We don't print the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey in that phrase. Okay, Ein Hashem Shalem, Ein Akise Shalem. There's something missing. As long as we have not, and the idea would seem to be, along the lines of what we're suggesting this morning, is as long as there's evil, and there's what Amalek represents, and Yerushalayim, so to speak, cannot function fully as the center of proper direction in terms of behavior, as long as there's Amalek floating around, it's incomplete. There's something missing. That's Kiyod al-Keskah. And once we triumph over that, we have that victory, then the shame will become complete. If you want to have a play on words, so we say in the Hichvot, the Pasuk, Kivoch Hashem B'tzion, Iva, L'moshavlo, Iva, Aleph, Vav, Hey. Those are the missing letters from Kiyod al-Keskah. Okay. Anyway, there's a famous pasuk we know in Divrei Hayyim Davening. Divrei Yomim Aleph Perek Chav Tes Pasuk Yud Aleph, Source 25. L'cho Hashem Agdula V'Agvura V'Tiferes V'Netzach V'Hod Kicho V'Hashamayim Ki L'cho Hashem Amlocha V'Nitzase L'chol Rosh. Famous pasuk. We also say we take out the Torah. So the Gemara in Brachos Nun Chesam Aleph expounds on each phrase. L'cho Hashem Agdula is this and Gvura is that and Tiferes is the other thing. What it represents. So Gemara says, what's Mamlocha? So 26 brachas nun ches malad l'cho Hashem amlocha zu milchemes Amalek. That's a reference to the fight against Amalek. Ve'en yomer kiyod al-keis ka. Okay, and the Rashi says because by fighting Amalek, then the throne of Hashem will be complete. If Yerushalayim is the center of the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not again, I stress, not because of the Beis Hamikdash, not the spiritual side of it, but the more, shall we say, human side, and again, you don't have to separate them, but we'll see in a moment, it wasn't so clear that they'd be united. But the fact is that Yerushalayim represents the battle versus Amalek, right? The battle versus those forces which rip apart society, which destroy people from getting along with one another and for functioning in accordance with, so to speak, a social contract based on Torah and so on. So that mamlocha is incomplete. The malucha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was incomplete. The same daf in Brachas has a different extrapolation from that phrase. Also, Perek daf nun ches and aleph, the source 28, HaNetzach zu Yerushalayim. Netzach refers to Yerushalayim. Well, you put the two Gemaras together. One says, you know, you have L'cho Hashem HaMamlocha, that's Amalek, and Netzach Yerushalayim. Netzach represents the triumph, Nitzachon, in that sense, and also Netzach in the sense of eternity. Once the Amalek is destroyed, and Yerushalayim can function once again as a center the way it's supposed to function, then that's then you have the triumph. And that's really not my idea so much. Tzlach points this out. Another Behuda point in Tzlach and Brochas Nun Chesem Aleph, and 29 points this out. Netzach Yerushalayim. And he says, that's why now Yerushalayim is also missing a letter. We're missing that out, Yud. Right? Kiyod al Kais Ka. Not only is the Kais Ka, the Aleph missing from Hashem's throne, Kisei, and the Vav and the Hey missing from his name, but the Tzlach, you know, at least al Derech HaJewish, adds Yerushalayim is also missing a letter. It's missing that second Yud. How will you spell it again? But it's missing that second Yud because the Netzach, the triumph over Amalek, is not yet complete. Okay? And in order to have that, we have to have the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yerushalayim. But again, not only in the sense of the Beis HaMikdash, but in the sense of getting people to behave the proper way. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Paragimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, 30, The one time Yerushalayim referred to as the center of Hashem's throne, and look how the pasuk ends. People will no longer behave in a nasty way and following their own desires and so on. Yerushalayim will be the center, the Kisa Hashem, a proper melucha, a proper kingdom, proper direction. Okay, and it'll be Ashuras Hashchina and so on. And Yerushalayim is known as, besides the Beis Hamikdash, the center of the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Perek Memches, pasuk Gimel, in the Shir Shel Yom of Monday. Okay, Zayin Amara, Har Tzion Yarkas Eitz Sofon Kiryas Melech Rav. It's the Kiryas, it's the dwelling place of the great king. Okay, and it's talking about Yerushalayim. It's not talking only about the Makom HaMikdash. It's talking about the Yerushalayim. And for that reason, we find that Yerushalayim was indeed the center, the capital, so to speak, of the Jewish kingdom. And we know there's a din that a Jewish king, in a certain sense, is a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, the Gemara says that Nasi, certain people are at the Mochel and they're covered. You have to give certain people honor, but certain people can be, okay, can be Mochel. Parents can be Mochel and they're covered. However, a king cannot be Mochel and is covered. Melech, Shemochel HaKvodo, Ein Kvodo Mochel. Raman Paskins that way, Hilchas Malachim, Perek Meis, Halacha Gimel, Shemelech, Shemochel HaKvodo, Ein Kvodo Mochel. Why is that? Why is that? Because, as the Mordechai explains in Gittin, Remez Tov Aleph, he says, "Lo dami lemelech shein yochel imachol vodo kidetani ki Hashem amlucha." And we say in the V'chom Aminim, "Hamamlech melachim velo hamlucha." Hamamlech Hakadosh Baruch Hu, really. So you're in a certain sense representing Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the din is that when you anoint a Jewish king, where do you anoint him? You have to anoint him, says the Rambam. When you have the real king, Mizera David, so that's in Yerushalayim, that takes place in Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim, in that sense, aside from being the spiritual center in terms of the Beis Hamikdash, is also the center of kingship, the center of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Melucha, and the center of the place where we get a raw direction, how to behave as people and so on. That's also a major aspect of Yerushalayim, again, to some extent independent of Yerushalayim. And for that reason, we have a din, okay, that the Gemara says in Brochas, Daf Mem Ches and Beis, the Rambam Paskins that way, Perek Beis Vilchus Brochas Halacha Dalad, when we bench, you have to mention in Birchas Hamazon, Malchus Beis David Bibona Yerushalayim. Right, 37, Tanya Beleza Omer, Kal Shalom, Eretz Kana Torah, Chabba Berchus Arts, Malchus Beis David Bibona Yerushalayim, Lo yotza yidei chovaso. The Rambam paskins that way. So does Shulchan Aruch. In Hilchos Birchas Hamazon, Rechaim Sim Kuf Pei Chesed Gimel Tzorach Lahazke Baruch Hashlishes Malchus Beis David. Not talking about the Beis Hamikdash. Talking about Malchus Beis David. You have to call attention in the Baruch of Rachim to the fact that the Malchus Beis David, the Jewish center of the capital, so to speak, of the Jewish people, is in Yerushalayim. It's very interesting. Even in the Shemoneh Esrei, Tosefta points out in Brachas Paragolach Chav Hey. Lieberman edition, it says that we have brachas, right? We have two brachas in the Shemoneh Esrei. They're very similar. Followed by a bracha which is very similar. Same idea. Oh, so that's exactly in Source 41 Tosis Rid. Posits in Tainus Daf Yud Gimel Aleph that actually those two brachas may have one time been one bracha. We're always accustomed to thinking that there were originally 18 brachas and they made a 19th bracha. Right? That's a simple reading of the Gemara. We still call it the Shemoneh Esrei. The daily Shemoneh Esrei we know has 19 brachas. That's a fact. You can open the Siddur and count. There are 19. Why do we still call it the Shemoneh Esrei? Okay, the old name stuck. You know, like some people my age and older remember when everybody referred to as a refrigerator as a Frigidaire. Even if it was manufactured by General Electric, it was still called a Frigidaire. A company, huh? We have a lot of different things. A Band-Aid, right? Those are brand names. Brand names, you know, the name stuck even though it was manufactured by somebody else. I mean, Xerox became a verb, right? The Kleenex, Xerox became a verb, actually, one time before I had my own printer. Xerox something, right? Anyway, so the name Shemoneh Esrei stuck. But the Tosfos Rid points out that actually there was 17 brachas and became an 18th. That bracha was split into two. But it could be that the emphasis in the bracha of Yerushalayim Yircha is Yerushalayim as the Beis Hamikdash, right? Yerushalayim Yircha, B'sishkon B'socha, Kasher Uvnei Osa, B'kar B'en, Binyan Olam. Maybe the Beis Hamikdash. The other bracha, Semach David, refers to the bracha of you know, the Malchus, possibly. Okay. Okay, yeah, but originally it was part of the one bracha, but okay. Anyway, something to think about. This also explains something else. I've kind of glossed over, but now we'll come to the point. This of Shechter Shlita has this in his Sefer Bikur Hatzon as an essay called Kiryas Melech, Yerushalayim Kiryas Melech Rav. So these next few Mamre comments are from him. It's very fascinating. So we unite, so to speak, the Mokom HaMikdash and Yerushalayim as the capital, so to speak, of the Jewish people, the center of Horah and the center of direction and so on. It didn't automatically have to be that way, necessarily. I mean, one could have conceived of a situation where you have one city is the center of the Beis Hamikdash, the spiritual center, and the other is the capital. We have, you know, in the United States, for example, and there's no religious center per se, but you know, the Washington D.C. is the capital in terms of politics and so on. But I think New York is considered the financial center, right? I mean, you know, so the don't have to go together. That's why the embassies are in Washington D.C. because an embassy looks out for, you know, political interests and so on. As opposed to consulates, which look out for business interests of country, are more New York, they're more the business center. So it didn't necessarily have to be that Yerushalayim, you know, the capital had to be the same place. As a matter of fact, and we refer to this in the Kinnas, the Gemara has in Zvachim Daf Nun Dalar Beis in 42, that David HaMelech, when he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdosh, and Shmuel was the Navi at that time, they were trying to figure out where should we build the Beis HaMikdosh. It says, "Kamta b'leis alamoko," has to be on a mountain. Okay, it has to be on a high point. But "Malamit shabeis hamitosh gavoh mikol aretz Yisrael." Okay, that they knew from Psukim. Okay, the Gemara says in Zvachim, they knew from Psukim that Yerushalayim would have to be on a hilltop, a mountain. Okay, but lo haviyade duchte hecha. I used to say for Yeshua, they were looking and finding Psukim and darshing Psukim and figuring out, and actually they wanted to come to a place called Ein Etam. I don't know exactly where that is. I'm sure the tour guides in Israel do. But the place called Ein Etam was a higher mountain than Yerushalayim. And that's what they thought. It should be on the highest of the mountains. Anyway, again, it's in the Slichas, not the Slichas, the Kinnas, the Tishra of all those Sion Kinnas at the end, you know. So there's a reference to Ein Etam there. But anyway, Ein Etam was where they thought, let's build a Beis HaMikdash there. But no, then they came to the Pasuk in Parshas Zos HaBrocha. They knew it was going to be in the Chelek of Binyamin. And there it says by Binyamin, Uvein Kseifav Shachain, the Shekhinah will dwell by his shoulders. The shoulder is not the highest part of the body. The head's higher than the shoulder. So by the shoulder, that they knew it was not the highest, very highest mountain was the next mountain. But one second. How'd they have such a doubt? They didn't know where to build the Beis HaMikdash. Well, it never says in the Torah. It never says, HaMokom Asher, you know, Yivchar Hashem and so on. There's many such expressions. L'shakein Shmo Shom and so on. But it never says where. So they had a question of where to build it. One second. Okay. The Gemara says in Yumud and a few other places also, Daf Yud Beis and all of these Machlokes, whether Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim or Lo Nischalka L'Shvatim. Was Yerushalayim, when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, it took them 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael, you know, from Sukkim Yoshua, and then the second half of Sefer Yoshua, which is not the most exciting narrative, has all these boundaries and borders and so on and so forth, okay, speaks about it, then it took another 7 years to divvy everything up. This Shevet went here, and that Shevet went there, and then within the Shvatim, you had to divide up this guy, he got that land, they come and got the other one. Okay, and this boy wasn't happy, and he was happy. All right, anyway, there's a whole discussion, it took 7 years. You can figure out, well, a lot of Dine Torah probably. But anyway, the Gemara discussed whether Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim. Was Yerushalayim in one particular Shevet? Well, so the conclusion would seem to be that Yerushalayim lo Nischalka L'Shvatim, and the idea is similar to the Washington, D.C., right, here in this country. All right, it's near Maryland, it's near Virginia, but it doesn't belong to any state. It's a separate district. Right, it doesn't belong to any one state. The capital of the United States doesn't belong to any one state. It's a separate district. Okay, so there's a discussion, was that what about Yerushalayim? Maybe it should be a separate district, right? It would not belong to Shevet Yehuda, near Shevet Yehuda, near Shevet Binyamin, but it's not going to belong to either one of them. So that's a discussion. And the assumption is, and again, we'll not go into the details if you're interested in looking, okay, but it was discussed, and the Chasam Sofer asked in one of his tshuvas, so one second. The Rashbam, there in Baba Basra, says, what's the difference of why were there so many arguments about who should settle where and so on? Because you want to be closer to the center of the action, right? I mean, you know, you move to Eretz, you want to live in Yerushalayim or near Yerushalayim. Okay, I mean, living in Yerushalayim now, you don't have to have a lot of money. But if you want to live nearby, right? And that's what, you know, so you might have gotten, if you had to live further away from the action, you got a bigger piece of land. That's how it worked out, right? You live, in the city, you have a tiny studio apartment, and you live out somewhere else, you can get a huge piece of land with an enormous house for that same price, right? I mean, you know, what are they saying? Real estate, location, right? Those are the three main things. So, again, Chazal had the same people all the time. Chazal had the same issue. You live near Yerushalayim, that's what the Rashbam discussed. The only thing the Rashbam, on the page there, Baba Basra, Kuchav, Beizam, and Aleph, says that the reason people wanted to come to Yerushalayim because they wanted to be closer to the Beis HaMikdash. That's why that was more valuable real estate. The closer the Beis HaMikdash, the better. Okay. The only thing is that the Chasam Sofer has a problem with that. Chasam Sofer in the Orachaim, it's one of his tshuvas, Simon Chav Tesim, 48, has a problem. What do you mean? At the time, we had that Gemara that we saw before in Zvachim, that in the time of David HaMelech and Shmuel, which is well after Yoshua and the conquest of the land, they didn't know where the basement was going to be. So how could the argument at the time of the divvying up of the land under Yoshua, centuries earlier, how could it be focused upon whether you want to live near the basement? They didn't know where the basement was going to be. Right? So that's a Chasam Sofer. So, and he raised that question. He said, "Lo noda makamitosh, lo harmaria. We know where it is." Then you had to have a navi in the day of David HaMelech with Shmuel and figure it out. So you put it all together. You wonder how could David, if already they knew that Yerushalayim, they had this discussion in the time of the divvying up of the land. Sounds like they did know where the Beis HaMikdash. What, they forgot? How did they did know where the Beis HaMikdash was? So the truth is, it could well be, again, with deference to Rashbam, and I wouldn't question Rashbam, but Chasam Sofer questions him, that it wasn't an issue of the Beis HaMikdash. It was an issue of Yerushalayim as the capital. Okay, that they knew. That they knew at the time of the dividing up of the land. Yerushalayim lo nischalka l'shvatim, just like the Washington, D.C. doesn't belong to Maryland, doesn't belong to Virginia. Okay, it's a separate district. So too, Yerushalayim as the capital was not going to belong to any one particular Shevet. But that doesn't necessarily show about the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash maybe would be somewhere else. Okay, Lemaisa wasn't. But the idea of the separate, I'm trying to stress, I guess, this whole shir, is the separate status of Yerushalayim from that perspective. And indeed, if you look in the Mishnayos and Kalim, Perak Aleph, starting in Mishnah Vav, and the Rambam Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perak Zayin, starting Halacha Yud Beis, explains that there is Yerushalayim has a status independent of the Beis HaMikdash itself. The status independent of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and there are certain things which apply to Yerushalayim, don't apply to other cities in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, within Yerushalayim, so the Beis HaMikdash is greater Kedusha. Fine. The different levels of Kedusha. Okay, now it has to do with, you can eat Karbanos and Maaseh Sheni, different things in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has a status besides being an overflow, if you will, of the Beis HaMikdash. One thing Yerushalayim seems to be, and it applies to the whole Yerushalayim, is a Makom Tfila. Okay, a Makom Tfila. All right, if you look in the Source 51, Bereishit Parshas Vayetze, Bereishit Parchav Ches Posek Zayin, when Yaakov Avinu woke up from his dream, with the latter, he saw this vision of a Kadosh Baruch Hu on the top of the ladder. We all know the story. So this is the place, he realized, he was sleeping in this place. This is the place that the gates to heaven, so to speak, are open right here. Okay. Now, Rashi there, Chumash, says that's the Beis HaMikdash Shomala, the Beis HaMikdash Shomata, emphasizing the Beis HaMikdash. However, in Pirkei Avoteinu, Perakei Lamed Hei, in 53, it says it's talking about Yerushalayim, not just the Beis HaMikdash, but Yerushalayim, all of Yerushalayim. Has the status of it being a place where tefillahs go through, not just the Beis HaMikdash. That point is made by the Shlah. Okay, Shar Oz Kuf, Kedush HaMakom, 54, he says that all tefillahs from everywhere in the world travel to Yerushalayim. We all face Yerushalayim, we know that, we face Yerushalayim. Okay, within Yerushalayim you face the Makom HaMikdash, good. But we all face towards Yerushalayim, that's the emphasis. And he says that all our tefillahs travel through Yerushalayim. That's why there's a halacha, in Ksubas, the Mishnah Ksubas of Kuf Yudim Beis, the Mishnah says, let's say a couple decides to get divorced. Okay, a couple gets divorced, the husband has to pay the Ksuba. Okay, so how do you determine how much and so on? Okay, all kinds of details, not for right now. But the halacha is that if it depends who's responsible for the breakup of the marriage. Let's say I'm living here in Teaneck all these years, and I tell my wife, tomorrow I'd like to move to the North Pole. Okay, so she doesn't want to move to the North Pole. So I say, okay, I'm leaving anyway. Okay, so I break up. So I decide to get divorced. I give her, I have to pay the ksuba. But let's say she decides, I'd like to move to the North Pole. And I'm not happy moving to the North Pole. So then it's determined by the business. She's the one responsible for the marriage. You want to get divorced, okay, but they don't have to make the husband pay the ksuba. You're upsetting the status quo. You're changing the status quo. So whoever is considered to be the one responsible for changing the status quo, that's who's responsible for breaking the marriage. There are other factors too, but just on a simple level. However, the Mishnah says that that's all true except if one of them wants to move to Eretz Yisrael. That one's automatically in the right. Okay, I don't want to cause any trouble for anybody. That's what it says in the mission. Okay, look 55. A kol malal eretz yisrael ve'ena kol motzi, and a kol malal yerushalayim. And then it says in Eretz Yisrael, you want to move to Yerushalayim, you win. Okay, and that's the din. The Rambam paskins that when hilchos ishus parak gimel alochik beis. Okay. Omrahi lalos who ain't a rotzeh? She wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't want to. Good, let him get divorced if they decide on that, and give the ksuba. But who adin lachol mokum Eretz Yisrael im Yerushalayim? Same thing. Okay, and Shulchan Aruch also brings the halacha siman ayin hey, known as a sim sif dalad. Okay, so you see there's the centrality of Yerushalayim, and indeed the pasuk says in Nehemiah, okay, in Parak Yud Aleph of Nehemiah, Pesukim Aleph and Beis, when they came back at the time, they wanted to bring X number of people to populate Yerushalayim. It's important to populate Yerushalayim. So this is, again, something we today people want to go to Yerushalayim. But this is the Rashbash and his Chuvin Simon Beis writes, Hare Adover Mefurah Shekashem Sheret Yisrael Mekudesh Es Mechutz Haaretz, Kach He Yerushalayim Mekudesh Es Meretz Yisrael. And it doesn't appear that it's only, you're not moving into the Beis HaMikdash, you're moving into the city of Yerushalayim. It has this particular status. Okay? Alright, I printed a couple of... Well, today you mean. Anyway, right. So the Chasam Sofer actually has a tshuva about that. That's in 62, the Chelek Yerideus in Reish Lamed Gimel. He says, it talks a little bit about what the situation today, okay, Bizman Hazeh, okay, do you have that same obligation? And so on. So the post can talk about it a little bit. He still thinks there's a value to go to Yerushalayim, even today. Okay, that would still apply. I printed two tshuvas about that subject. So if you're interested, you can look at those tshuvas. One thing he mentioned, the Avdinez is also true. One thing he mentions is that, you know, Hilchos Beis HaBechira Parag Vav Alok Yedalad, the Rambam writes that the Kedusha of the Mikdash and Yerushalayim, okay, that's the question of whether it still exists today. So that's that question of Lassud Lovo, not Lassud Lovo. All right, the Avdinez is a tshuva about it. He feels that Misvara, look in 65, the Avdinez is a tshuva, Chelek Ardesim, Toft Nun Dalat, it's a famous tshuva. Avdinez was a Sachar Tshuva Rebbe, so he has a very important tshuva about the status of moving to Eretz Yisrael today, moving to Yerushalayim today. He was a Chassidish Rebbe, so somebody asked him, you know, how come all the Chassidish Rebbes don't up and move to Eretz Yisrael? You know, the Chassam Sofer in that tshuva in Reish Lamed Dalet asked, how did the Beis, 63, you're there, how did the Beis Yosef and the Rizal stay in Tzfat? Why didn't they go to Yerushalayim? Right, so that's part of it, right? In fact, I saw somewhere, I thought it was in that tshuva, now I looked at it, I couldn't see it, but I thought it was that there was a great earthquake in Tzfat, you know, at one of several hundred years ago. And some sort of a punishment because they established Tzfat and, before they built up Yerushalayim. I wouldn't have the oza to say that. The Rizal and the Beis Yosef and all the Kubbalah and Tzfat lived there. They must have known what they were doing, but okay, that's, you know, so there are that discussion what applies today in Afkaminas and so on.
What I meant today was, besides, back to the question of Yerushalayim in the get. Does
all right. So that actually is discussed a little bit in some of those earlier tshuvas that I mentioned. Does the expanded city count? You know, or just the old city? Right. That's part of it. Because there's certainly you wouldn't be able to eat my Sheni and so on. Yeah. Nechanami. That's part of it. I quote it over here. But I just want to mention Avdenezer and that tshuva. So Avdenezer and that tshuva explains why it's an important tshuva because he has a very creative interpretation as to why many people quote the Rambam as holding that there's no mitzvah to settle Eretz Yisrael today at all. If I were Yerushalayim, but even Eretz Yisrael, that the mitzvah of Yisrael doesn't apply, unlike the Ramban, who says in both in the addenda to the Sefer HaMitzvahs and in his commentary on Chumash, next week, 2 weeks, Sedra, Marshall's Masi. So the Rambam doesn't seem to hold. There's a lot of literature about what the Rambam meant. I've never said the Rambam agreed that it's absolutely a mitzvah. The technical reasons he didn't count it. And as far as why all the Chassidish rabbis don't go, so he said, well, what are we going to live off of exactly? So he said, well, the very interesting approach. He said, if I move to Eretz Yisrael, so what's going to be? So all the Chassidim are not going to be able to pick up move to Eretz Yisrael. The rabbi will go, so the people will send him, you know, achnos, they'll send him donations from Chutz Lartz. So that's not called Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because I'm living off of funds that come from Chutz Lartz, and I'm supporting an economy that's not a Jewish economy. That's different today. But today is the Avdi Nezer, right? And so good, I'm supporting the British economy. What does that do? Or by his time, the Turkish economy. You know, today it might be different. Anyway, it's a discussion for another time, maybe another different year. And anyway, it's Tzitz Eliezer in the Nivid Shuvah Chelik Gimel Simchav Beis in 66. He said, it's not so posh, a couple of truths I printed, not so posh that you can leave Yerushalayim or you should not go to Yerushalayim. Okay, I don't want to go into those truths. The other one is Chalik Yudalek, and the base. You can take a look. But what I would say, Mikol Zeh, the way I understand it anyway, from presenting it clearly, is that Yerushalayim has a status independent of the Beis HaMikdash. And even if you want to say that Kachim Kalem and Maaseh Sheni, these things only eat in Yerushalayim, that could be an overflow of the Beis HaMikdash. But as a center of Jewish sovereignty, as a center of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, and so on, that's an aspect of Yerushalayim that I believe, as I said before, is overlooked. And it may even have a different ramification. Bizman Hazeh, actually a machlokas between two great poskim of the previous door, Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Aruch, and Abshalom Zalman Auerbach, Zichron Aruch. Okay, with Moshe Feinstein, of course, is in America, Abshalom Zalman in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, they had a difference of opinion. It's Nogea Halacha Lemaisa. And it's based on something that appears at the very end of Hilchos Tisha B'Av, in the very end. The Gemara says in Mord Katan, Tav Chav Vav Ben Aleph, Amr Chalba, Amr Ula Bira, Amr Ulazar, Haroe Ara Yehuda B'Churbana. If somebody comes and sees the cities of Yehuda in a state of destruction, B'Churbana, Omer, you're supposed to say a phrase, a pasuk, Ari Kach Ha'amidbar B'Korea, Yeter Kriya. We tear Kriya. You see the cities of like Rachman Atzan after the death of a relative, we tear Kriya and we see the Ari Yehuda. Like, oh, Yeshama, Ari Yehuda, around Yerushalayim. These cities, you see them b'churbanon, you're supposed to tear Kriya. Yerushalayim b'churbanon, when you see Yerushalayim in a state of destruction, Omer, Tzion, Midbar, Haisa, Yerushalayim, Shemama, you say a different phrase, and you, the Korea, you tear Kriya. This is a Gemara. Tear Kriya. Beis HaMikdash b'churbanu, when you see the Mokam HaMikdash in a state of destruction, you see the mosque on it today, Omer Beis Kachenim Sivartenu Asher Hiluch HaBaseinu Hoya L'Sveifas Eish V'chom Achmadenu Hoya L'Charva B'Korea, and you tear Korea. Okay, this is the din in the Gemara. It's brought L'Halacha, the Rambam Paskin Zilchus Tainis Perakei Halacha Tezayin. No question, there's no debate about it. Mishara, Ari Yehuda B'Chabano, Ari Omer, Ari Kachachal B'Midbar B'Korea, Rav Yerushalayim, again, Paskins like this Gemara. Okay. The Magid Mishnah points out, what do you mean, isn't Yerushalayim one of the Ari Yehuda? Why do you have to have a separate din to be tear for Ari Yehuda and to tear for Yerushalayim? No, Yerushalayim has a different status. Okay, Yerushalayim has an independence. It's not just one of the Ari Yehuda. It has its own status. Fits in what we were saying. And these dinim all appear in the very end, the very last siman of Hilchos Tisha B'Av, or Chaim Siman Tov Kuf Samach Aleph, and Sif Aleph, or Ari Yehuda B'Churbanon, Sif Beis, or Yerushalayim B'Churbanon, and so on. And then the Beis HaMikdash, and so on. Now, what does it mean, B'Churbanon? What does that mean? When you see it in a state of destruction. So, the Mishabura, there in Simtovko Samach Aleph, Sukkot and Beis, and 72, the name of the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says the same thing. And it's applied today. Afilu Yosun Vahen Yisrael. Even if they're Jewish cities, Ari Yehuda, whatever Ari Yehuda, the cities around Yerushalayim, when you drive from the airport to Yerushalayim, we pass all these cities, even though they're populated by Jews, says the Mishnah Berura, Kevin Shahayishme Elim, Moslim Alehem, Mikri B'Churbanan. Churban does not mean that the buildings are knocked down, the city's destroyed. Could be built up, beautiful place, Vaseret Yerushalayim, whatever, you know, Telstone, whatever, you pass on the way to Yerushalayim, right? These cities are built up beautifully. But if it's under non-Jewish sovereignty, you have to tear Kriya. That's what the Magen Avraham says, and Shabur quotes it, that's what the Magen Avraham says, is the definition of Churban. Churban doesn't mean that it's laid waste and there are piles of stones all over the place. It means it's not under Jewish sovereignty. Okay, so today, Baruch Hashem, it is under Jewish sovereignty. The famous comment that Rav Zevin, there's a sefer called Amod in Balacha, which Rav Zevin wrote about all the Yom Tovim, and he speaks about this, and he writes, not my place to criticize anybody, but Rav Zevin writes, that nowadays that these cities are under Jewish sovereignty, and he writes, Ashrei shezachinu lechach, how fortunate we are that we have achieved this, for we wouldn't tear for these places. When it was translated to English, whoever translated to English for art school left out that phrase, Ashrei Shezachinu L'chach. Kind of had Teretzim Y, but it wasn't good Teretzim. But anyway, Ashrei Shezachinu L'chach left out in some editions in parentheses. Okay, whatever. But the bottom line is that we assume L'halacha that these are not B'Churbanon anymore. Okay. What about the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is obviously Churban in the sense of the Beis HaMikdash means the Beis HaMikdash is not there. So there's no doubt that you have to tear Kriya, and people do, Okay, you tear kriya today, to this day, unless you come on a Shabbos. Okay, people ask me, I don't believe in this Friday afternoon business, you know, or you know, give your shirt to somebody else. Okay, kedai based on the kenyan to tear one shirt. Okay, but anyway, but if you can't, whatever, you talk to your friendly rabbi. But anyway, but you're supposed to tear kriya if you haven't been there in 30 days. Haven't been there in you know, more than 30 days. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael for the year, I told my children the same thing. Make sure you get to the Kosel once every 30 days. You don't have to worry about a tearing every time. But if you're not, we live here, we're supposed to tear kriya. Again, later, go on Shabbos, you can't tear. Or Yom Tov, sorry. But you're supposed to tear kriya. Where exactly do you tear? So that's also a question. Some say you have to actually see the ground. Let's say from Har HaZeisim, you can see the Mokam HaMikdash, you can see the ground. Others say as long as you can see the mosque is on that ground there. So many people tear, personally tear, when you walk down from the Jewish quarter, those steps, right before you make that last left to go down the last series of steps, you know, that little, there's a little, what you call it, like a little patio kind of area, you know, so then you can see that person where I tear kriya. But others want to see it, want to see the floor, they may say only tear from Har HaZeisim. Okay, different opinions. Fine. But anyway, so you tear your shirt just like Rachon HaTzan. So that's for the Mokam HaMikdash. But what about Yerushalayim? What about the Gemara and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that say you have to tear when you come to Yerushalayim? What's the status? Yerushalayim is under Jewish sovereignty today, just like the Ari Yehuda are under Jewish sovereignty. On the other hand, Yerushalayim is the Mokam HaMikdash, but there's no Mikdash. So should you tear for Yerushalayim today or not? Okay, it really depends on what you're emphasizing Yerushalayim. If Yerushalayim is, if you will, a spillover from the Mikdash, and by the way, for certain dinim, it may have other dinim, you're asking what, it just flew into my head. According to some Rishonim, when it says you blow shofar, or you take the lulav, you know, Kol Shivan son, Midoraisa, what's that? Does Yerushalayim have? So maybe we can think that through. But anyway, getting back to our issue. Right, that's someone near, yeah, but that's something else. When Ram was Ram and Rashi, right? But you know, whether Yerushalayim, when it says B'miktosh Hayutokin, okay, does it mean Mikdash all Yerushalayim or just Mikdash Makom Mikdash? It may relate to that. Okay, yes, another enough for me. Be that as it may, the question is, it's a halacha maisa question. Do we tear kriya when we see Yerushalayim b'churbanam? Does Yerushalayim b'churbanam mean not under Jewish sovereignty, like Ari Yehuda? Well, in that case, I don't have to tear for Yerushalayim today. On the other hand, does it mean that it's a spillover, so to speak, of the Beis HaMikdash, and we'd still have to tear? So this is the machlokas. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Igros Moshe, Arachayim Chelek Hei, Simon Lamed Zayin, Os Aleph in 73, right? Shim Kein Atosh V'chaste Hashem Yisbarach, Ein Moshim Ha'omos Al-Arei Yehudu Al-Yushalayim, Ve'em Gam Yushavim, Hutam Godos Lo Likra. He says, I don't think you have to tear anymore. Okay, now let's not make a mistake. Av Shadayin Lo Bo Ha'gula Yedem Alach HaMashiach. Obviously, the full Gula and the Mashiach have not come yet, obviously. Okay, but mispachtim almost, we're still afraid of other nations and so on. Still, ain likroa. He still thinks you should not tear kriya anymore today for Yerushalayim. Okay, because and then he brings raya's for it. He says now shemikavim anachnu shemelach mashkiri yovah bekarov because you call Yisrael mechonim and so on. Right, ain tzorach likroa. Avol shakshiro mokam hamikdash. Obviously, we still have to tear kriya for the Mokam HaMikdash, but not for Yerushalayim. So Paskins, Rav Moshe Feinstein, so then all be good. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach disagreed. In his Tshuva Minchas Shlomo, Chelek Aleph Siman Ayin Gimel, the last source, he says, he quotes another sefer, and he says, the rabbi who quotes another sefer brought the Tzodeh HaSofik, I believe the calls man cheroim adayin bira kodesh ramikdosh. We still see in our era kodesh. Can I see? You know, we have non-Jewish houses of worship and so on, and you know that type of thing there. And we can't get rid of that. That's still called b'churbana. Okay, throughout Yerushalayim, that's still called b'churbana. He thinks you still should tear Yerushalayim. Okay, I don't know. Maybe his talmidim do. Okay, the more prevalent practice today is we don't. Because there's a suffix on the other side of Baltashkis, right? You're not allowed to wantonly destroy something, so the suffix, if you're not supposed to tear your shirt, then you're not allowed to. Baltashkis, I think the more prevalent practice, we don't tear for Yerushalayim, we tear for the Mokam HaMikdash. But if we understand, we said in the Shir, and maybe that's the root of my focus a little bit, what is the nature of Yerushalayim? If Yerushalayim is principally an overflow of the Beis HaMikdash, in that sense, then maybe the Shlomo Zalman is right. On the other hand, if Yerushalayim has the status of being a center for the Jewish people, so that, to some extent at least, has been repaired to this day. Just to conclude, one story from Shlomo Zalman, you know, he and then I heard the story years ago, and then someone showed me it was printed in the what do you call that? The new Mishabura, Dirshu, I think. The new Mishabura, no, not the Mishabura, the one with Rav Nevenzal's. There's a Mishabura edition with the Ha'aras of Rav Nevenzal. But I heard this years ago that somebody asked, what if you live in Yerushalayim and you don't go to the Kosel in 30 days? Okay, then you still have to tear for the Malka Mikdash. You live in Yerushalayim. And Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't understand the question. What do you mean? You live in Yerushalayim and you don't go to the Kosel? What kind of crazy person would you? He couldn't, that couldn't even be massive that there was in the realm of possibility that somebody would live in Yerushalayim and not go to the Kosel in 30 days. He goes, I don't understand the question. So that was his answer. So we should take advantage of the opportunities that we have. When we go, we tear Kriya. If you're there, you should visit the Makam Mikdash. But again, that's why entitled the Shia, you know, again, a lesser known aspect, I think an overlooked aspect that Yerushalayim, in addition to being the spillover of the Makam Mikdash, what we mourn this time of year, you know, Yom Govar Ha'ev Atibokah Ha'ir, Yerushalayim lost its status as well as the political center, as the center of Hadrocha and the center of Horah. Hopefully that has been undone at least to some extent, but we still have a ways to go. And as Rav Moshe said, when the Melech HaMashiach comes, and Shlomo Zalman also ends his tshuva, will come at that time, and Nismicha B'Yishosol HaNetzach, we'll be able to rejoice forever in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's salvation. I wish you have a meaningful remainder of the fast. Right.